Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited Q3 and FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anirudh Nagpal from JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, operator, and welcome everyone to the call. I will first thank Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited for giving JM Financial the opportunity to host today's call. So without much ado, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Gautam Chakraborty, Head Investor Relations, Welspun Corp, to introduce the management. Over to you, Gautam.
Thank you, Anirudh, and good afternoon to everyone. On behalf of Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited, I welcome all of you to the company's Q3 and nine-month FY 2026 results call. Along with me, we have Mr. Anuj Borakia, Chief Executive Officer and Whole-Time Director, and Mr. Navin Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer of the company. I hope you have had a chance to review the investor presentation that was filed with the exchanges. The presentation is also available on the company's website. During today's discussion, we may be making references to this presentation. Request you to please refer to the safe harbor statement in our presentation. Now we'll start the forum with the opening remarks by Mr. Borakia, and then we'll open the floor for the Q&A. So I'm just handing over the floor to Mr. Borakia. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Gautam. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited, I welcome you all to our quarter three and nine-month financial year 2025-2026 earnings call. Thank you for joining us today. I will start with a brief overview of global macroeconomic environment, followed by an update on the industry landscape and a summary of our company's performance during the period under review. Thereafter, we'll open the session for an interactive questions. The global economy continues to experience significant volatility. While some of the extremely high tariffs are being considered for rationalization, overall uncertainty has intensified due to ongoing geopolitical tensions. Policy inconsistencies and retaliatory measures by several countries led by the United States have added pressure on global market stability. At the same time, trade negotiations currently underway with the European Union are expected to provide some relief for Indian exporters. Against this backdrop, the International Monetary Fund, in its latest World Economic Outlook, has projected global economic growth at 3.2% for 2025 and 3.1% for 2026. Turning to India, the economy continues to exhibit resilience and strong growth momentum. India's real GDP expanded by 8.2% in quarter two of financial year 2025-2026, compared to 7.8% in the previous quarter. Reflecting this strength, the Reserve Bank of India has revised its GDP growth forecast for financial year 2026 upward to 7.3% from its earlier estimate of 6.8%. The Reserve Bank of India has also highlighted that domestic factors, including favorable agricultural prospects, the continued benefits of GST rationalization, benign inflation, strong balance sheets of corporates and financial institutions, and supportive monetary and financial conditions are expected to sustain economic activity. At Welspun Specialty Solutions, our focus remains firmly on strengthening our core competencies, advancing strategic initiatives in new applications, and maintaining an agile operating approach. These priorities have enabled us to deliver consistent performance despite prevailing headwinds and market challenges. During the first 9 months of financial year 2026, we are pleased to have added 30 new customers while continuing to maintain strong and meaningful engagement across our entire existing customer base. From a volume perspective, stainless steel seamless pipe sales in quarter 3 financial year 26 increased by approximately 50% year on year, while stainless steel bar volume grew by about 22% year on year. For the 9-month period of FY26, stainless steel pipe and bar volumes recorded growth of 18% and 51% respectively on a year-on-year basis. Our financial performance during the quarter remained in line with our expectations. For quarter 3 FY26, total income stood at Rs. 229 crores, registering a 15% year-on-year growth. EBITDA was Rs. 19.8 crores, reflecting a strong 52% year-on-year increase and a 9% sequential growth. EBITDA growth continued to outpace revenue growth, indicating improved operating leverage. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at 9.5 crore rupees, compared to a loss of rupees 3.6 crores in the corresponding quarter of last year. For the 9 months ended December 25, total income stood at 683 crores, up 26% year on year. EBITDA increased by about 36% year on year to rupees 52 crores. Profit after tax stood at rupees 18.4 crores compared to a loss of approximately 8 crores in the same period last year. Please note that EBITDA for both quarter 3 and 9-month period include a one-time charge of approximately rupees 66 lakhs relating to an additional gratuity provision following the implementation of new labor code announced by the Government of India. Our order book at the end of quarter 3 remained stable at approximately 5,000 tons. Metric tons with a total value of approximately 200 crores. I am also pleased to share that CARE Ratings have further upgraded our long-term facility rating from CARE A+ to CARE AA-, while our short-term facility rating continues at CARE A1+. In addition, our commercial paper has been rated at CARE A1+. These upgrades reflect growing confidence in our strengthened fundamentals, improved financial profile, and disciplined execution. Considering the existing business environment and the overall demand scenario, particularly in export markets as discussed earlier, margins have remained under pressure. However, we continue to pursue our strategy of improving capacity utilization while positioning the company for future growth. In the current environment, we have further sharpened our focus on the domestic market while remaining fully prepared to capitalize on a rebound in export opportunities. I am pleased to inform that the IBR accreditation process for our chrome alloy steel bars and tubes was successfully completed during quarter 3. Additionally, commissioning of our new ride bar project is progressing at full pace. These strategic initiatives aimed at debottlenecking operations and enhancing technical capabilities position the company strongly and make us ready as we move towards higher utilization of our steel making and pipe making facilities. Our technical and marketing teams continue to drive the development of new products, grades and applications while simultaneously expanding our customer base and strengthening our market presence. On the sustainability front, I am pleased to share that the proportion of renewable electricity consumption has increased significantly from approximately 31% during financial year 25 to about 53% during 9 months financial year 26. This progress underscores our steadfast commitment to sustainability and green products as we advance along our ESG roadmap. Despite an extremely challenging external environment, the company's value-driven strategy, strong customer relationships, integrated solutions and agile execution have consistently delivered progress. This reinforces our confidence in our long-term strategy focused on sustainable value creation. With that, I now would like to open the floor for questions, please. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. Our first question comes from the line of Radha from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on improved performance in this quarter. Sir, first question is, what are the key strategies to fill the price bar capacity that will be commissioned in this quarter, and by when do you expect to achieve full utilization of the same?
Yeah, good afternoon, Ms. Radha. Thank you. Good question. So as I was mentioning that the bright bar commissioning is happening, is right now and going on in full swing, and will be completed very, very soon. So this is the capacity that has been built, also considering, you know, the full capacity utilization of the steel plant. So the utilization of bright bar capacity also will go in line with as we increase our overall utilization, I would say. On an immediate term basis, we can say that, you know, these being modern equipment will definitely add to the efficiency, the speed of churning out, and in delivering faster product.
Okay.
So, and I hope I have, Yes.
The second question is, so one of the key strategies for growth for us has been exporting to new geographies like Middle East. In that context, could you help us understand how big is the market size in Middle East, especially the asset seamless demand?
Sorry, you broke in your first statement. Could you please repeat your question?
Yes, sir. Sir, one of the key strategies for growth for our company has been exporting to new geographies like Middle East. So in that context, could you help us understand what is the total stainless steel seamless pipe demand in Middle East?
So Middle East is one of the geographies that you know, that we are targeting, and plus you see there are both like direct pipe supplies to Middle East, but more importantly for us is to seek the approvals of major oil and gas who are, let's say, established in Middle East region and who are ordering their equipment not only within Middle East but also outside of Middle East. So as of now also we are doing few projects which belong to that region, but we are supplying to a fabricator in India or a fabricator into Europe. So any new geography is, and especially Middle East, is not only important in terms of supplying directly to that region, but also to seek the approvals or the accreditation from the oil and gas establishments there to be able to supply to those projects. And we are on the path. I think we are in advanced stages of gathering quite a few of important approvals very soon.
Sir, are you expecting any new orders from Saudi Aramco this year?
Well, I think directly I really cannot say, but that is, I can tell you that is one of the important approvals that we are already engaging with them. So once done, then of course, we will certainly expect business coming from Saudi Aramco, maybe directly or maybe indirectly.
Okay. So second, third question is, so Saudi has already put an anti-dumping duty on welded stainless steel pipes. So do you think they can plan the same for stainless steel seamless also, once they feel that there is adequate local country capacity especially now with a company called Saudi Gulf Special Steel putting up a stainless steel plant there, and also Ratnamani putting up a cold finish line over there. So with these developments, how do you plan to export more to that region?
Something and we had lost in between, so could you please repeat your question?
Yes, sir. So I'll just ask a more important question first. So on the bright bars, what is our right to win, and is there any export opportunity? And do you believe filling bright bars capacity is much more easier and profitable compared to the round bars?
So bright bar, see, it is like this. Whatever gets exported is, you can say 90% plus is bright bar. That's how it works. So I think more important question is not the export relating to bright bar. The more important question is when do we see the export markets opening again? And we know the turmoil that is happening at this point in time. So I think we are also watching the situation very, very closely. So, and eventually it will come back to normal at some stage. So, when the export volume starts increasing again, you know, then I think 90% plus would be bright bar any which way. Having said that, even in India, in domestic market, the bright bar consumption is now increasing. And interestingly, you know, the growing piercing seamless capacity in India also consuming a lot of bright bars is one of the sectors. Plus, there are so many other applications which are now consuming bright bars in the country. So I think it's a mix of both export as well as domestic. And what we see is that there are unique size range going up to larger sizes and the grade mix. So we have a lot of opportunity and scope, you know, for selling bright bars in times to come.
So what is your volume guidance for 4Q and next year, both for pipes and bars?
So I think I would not like to give any particular volumes because, you see, we have a very, you know, volatile market here. But as we have been guiding before, and, you know, now also we are maintaining that this year we had expected to grow by anything between 25-30%, and I think we'll end up growing probably better than that. So for now, I think that is the only guidance that we can give, and we will probably would like to watch for another, you know, few weeks or let's say a couple of months before we will be in a position to talk about next year. I think that would be a fair ask given the situation outside.
Okay, thanks and all the best to you. I'll come back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Parth Bowser from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand on the order book, right? So I see that, you know, from Q4 onwards, the order book has been on a declining trend in terms of volume, right? So wanted to get a sense on what's happening on the ground in the domestic market, in the export market, in key regions like Europe, US, Middle East, to get some sense like what are you, you know, looking at in terms of demand, why, you know, there's a consistent drop in order book, of not only yours, but even everyone's order book. So to get some sense on demand, how's the sentiment like?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Bhatt. So let me put it this way. Perhaps we, as an industry, or let's say as a world, you know, engaged with engineering industry, it's not for the first time we are seeing a situation like this. Before this also, situations have come where, you know, the projects are postponed, you know, when the stability is not there and there is a environment of uncertainty, right, which is prevailing at this point in time. So the real demand takes a little backseat, which means that not the projects are going to go off the books. They are still going to come. It is only that they are postponed or they are delayed, or, you know, so which creates a pent-up demand in the, you know, in the end. So what we feel is, you know, like what when we operate in the market, there are not only the new asset creation, but we also sell for, you can say the upgradations or, you know, spares of the existing projects. So that demand is anyway there. And even for the new projects, as we go forward, you know, eventually they will all come on stream. So before this also, we have seen periods where, you know, the demand vanishes or reduces significantly for a period of time, but then it comes back, you know, with an equal intensity. So it's only a matter of time, we believe.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. And so you mentioned that, you know, the piercing capacities, you know, are increasing and which would, you know, basically help help you, you know, sell basically SS bars, right? So what is your take on, you know, our company, you know, putting up a small piercing capacity, or we are not looking on that particular product, or we don't want to get into it? What's your take on it?
So, Ma, these are two different worlds. Not that there are, you know, there, of course, there are common applications where, you know, a piercing, wherever piercing can be used, obviously extrusion can be used, but then, you know, it is like using a premium product for a non-premium application, right? So I think over a period of time, primarily for most of the applications, this divide has got clearly established as to where piercing will go and where extrusion will go. And the divide has got created because the value addition or a price difference has widened, you know, too much. So, and this is not a new phenomenon, and I think we have, as extrusion players, we have learned, you know, to operate in that environment wherein we are focused on businesses, or let's say, you know, we work in the applications where in most of the cases only extrusion can really do the job. So, so for us, piercing becomes a method, you know, which is used for very different applications, and whether to get into that business or not is something strategic. So, but at this point in time, I mean, we have no plans, you know, to get into that. Right from day one, as we have been saying, that we wish to chase value and not volume. And that is how, you know, with our strategy, I think it is paying off at the end of the day, you know, with so much of a turmoil outside and, you know, pressure on margins and low capacity utilization, prices have gone down. But we have been still able to, you know, deliver some respectable results here. So we will stick to our strategy and we will only chase the value and we will not chase the volume. That is, I think, you know, strategy that we are going to follow in long run also.
Yeah. So basically, like you said, right, the product is different, the pricing is different, the application is different. So, and even if you look at the capex intensity, even if we look at the capex intensity, it is quite low, you know. So basically, piercing does well on ROCs as well, right? So why not, you know, think of it, since it is, you clearly said it, right? It's different product, application, everything is different.
So I, you know, I'm not having 100% hang on the numbers because we are not there in that field, but I can only guess, and I think I am making a fair guess that, you know, with no entry barriers, no investment, that industry is killing itself, right? So if you look at the price decline that has happened, and then I'm saying price decline is a relative price decline, which is the difference between selling price and the key raw material, which is bar, has continuously come under pressure. Of course, it has a rub-off effect also on the extrusion product, but not so much, right? Here, in case of extrusion, it's a huge investment, and that is how we don't see, at least I am not aware of any new investment or new plant coming in India. So that's a very clear case of, you know, two different industries. So, and both are going their own way. So I think as the country grow, as the investments into strategic sectors will increase, we have a lot to look forward to as extrusion players, and especially integrated extrusion players.
Yeah. And similarly, sir, I had a question on welded pipes and tubes as well. Like, what's our take on it? Do we intend to, you know, expand on the welded side? Yeah.
Good question. I think I actually like to answer that. You see, our focus again, you know, is value add, And as far as welded pipes are concerned, I think there are many players. Again, low entry barrier. We don't see a value in that. And neither in that case we will remain integrated because it uses flat products and we don't produce flat products.
Yeah.
So, an investment for us, let's say, you know, though we are not having any firm plans, but let's say, even if in future we will have to look for investment, we would like to go for, you know, secondary remelting. I think I must have mentioned it somewhere that, you know, these are going to be our future plans to go more and more value add, and which would be in the field of being able to produce very high grade, you know, nickel alloys and going into forging, you know, things like that, instead of going into a welded tube plant.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. So those were my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Sagar Shah from SH Financials. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my question. See, I'm relatively following the company lately, and not for long. I just wanted to understand a bit about the business. So what would be the main raw materials that we use, sir?
So, Mr. Sagar, this is an integrated facility focused only on stainless steel and high-grade alloys. We don't produce carbon steel or mid-alloy steel.
Yeah.
And when we say integrated, it starts from scrap melting. So, one of our very important raw material is scrap, stainless steel scrap. And then the second important raw material is ferroalloys, like ferrochrome, ferronickel, you know, molybdenum, niobium, so those kind of alloys. So these are our major raw materials. And we produce stainless steel long products, which are bars, ingots, blooms, bright bars, and we also produce seamless pipes and tubes.
And so who would be our competitors, sir, in the sense?
So you see, on the steel side, there are players in India, but how we differentiate is because of our size range, which is bigger and unique. And second is the kind of grades that we produce, which some of which are, we are the only producers as of now in India, and some are like very, very few players. So, in, you know, on the product side of it, we certainly end up differentiating. Though otherwise, there are, of course, stainless steel producers also in big volumes in India, like Viraj Steel and, you know, Mukund, which are primarily wire rods. So there are players.
Even Jindal Stainless, sir?
Jindal Stainless is into flat products, which is a different field altogether, different applications. So that is not something that we'll consider as our competition. On the seamless side, as I was just mentioning in the previous question, that, you know, a lot of piercing players have come in. But strategically, I think, you know, extrusion is completely different ballgame. And there we have a few players, you know, some good ones also. Ratnamani is one established extrusion player. And then we have Jindal Saw came up. And then, yeah, I think, and plus there is one company in Government of India Defense, but they only do for strategic government projects, nuclear fuel complex.
I see.
So, pretty much these companies, yeah.
And sir, what about, I mean, our capacity utilization, I mean, across the, because I, the plant, sir, would be?
So, our steel capacity, and this is, I'm saying that, you know, we are not considering investing any money on further expansion or anything. So in stainless steel, we can, as a stage one, go up to 100,000 tons of liquid metal, which means about 85,000 tons saleable, including the quantity to be used in you know, captive pipe plant. And currently we are operating at about 50%, you can say. So this, in last 2 years, we have grown from 20-25% to now, you know, above 50%. And that's how we are progressing. Similarly on pipe, currently we are operating at about, you can say, 60-65%. So in both the cases, we have a huge headroom, and we are looking forward to little improved market, improved sentiments. As far as we are concerned, I mean, we cannot control the market, but we remain completely prepared that, you know, given an opportunity, I think we are, as a company, you know, ready to grab the opportunity.
So I think in one of the earlier calls, so you had mentioned that you intend to take the capacity to about 80-85% in 2 years' time.
Yes, that's still, is what is our agenda.
Okay. And sir, final question, what is the status of the Bale order, sir, that we have procured for supplying boiler tubes?
Quite a lot of it has been already delivered, because there was there is obviously a delivery schedule attached, and plus DHEL also governs the deliveries based on their usage and things like that. So, but I think quite a lot of it is already delivered. Maybe some tail left.
Okay. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Radha from BNK Securities again. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Okay, thank you again. So the presentation mentions that a constructive outcome of the upcoming EU trade agreement would be beneficial to the company. However, my understanding was that there is no anti-dumping duty on seamless pipe exports from India to EU. So, is this statement pertaining to bars only?
No, I think it is for both. There is no anti-dumping from India, but there is a quota system, tariff rate quotas. So, there is a volume which up to which it is a duty-free export into EU, both for bars as well as for seamless pipes and tubes. And once the quota exceeds, and the quota is on quarterly basis. So once the quota is over, and any product then after that gets into EU is charged with 25% duty. So while we are not aware as of now whether there will be any interventions, being brought as far as these quotas are concerned. But as industry, I mean, together, you can say that, through the appropriate councils, we had certainly, discussed and, presented to the government that these are the aspects. The tariff rate quota is kind of restrictive, for the volumes from stainless steel to Europe, and it's an important market. So, on the behalf of industry, this should be also taken up, so that the quota system, if not increased, at least it is maintained, and it should not become a further bottleneck given the current situation of market. So we are yet to know as to what will happen on that, but that's related to the quota.
So how much is the quota?
So from India, for the bars, the rounded off number would be about 140,000 tons a year, which is for the bars. Pipe is less, is about 20,000 tons a year.
And is there any anti-dumping duty on bars, sir?
There is no anti-dumping as such. As I said, they would open 35,000 tons quota in the beginning of quarter, okay? And you take an example, if a quarter is, let's say, September, December. 1st of September, they will release for India 35,000 tons duty-free import. And let's say that, that quota is filled up, and normally it happens is that a quota gets filled on day one, because every single kg of bar actually comes and sits there before the end of previous quarter and gets cleared on 1st. So any further quantity that goes in after that is charged with 25% duty. So you can call it anti-dumping, you can call it by whatever name, but they allow duty free up to certain volume, and beyond that they charge.
Okay, and so since they have 40% duty on China, Do you think that in the last 1 year, how our export volumes have reduced strategically? Has the export volume for Chinese also reduced to European Union?
I think on the standard product, which is your standard scheduled pipe, which is in sizes, quite a lot of that market, not now, but last more than 2.5 years or perhaps 3 years, is already taken by, piercing mills. Earlier, there used to be a lot of imports that was coming from China, and now also under advanced license, a lot of material is still coming from China, which, either the piercing mills in India are supplying for that requirement, or there are cold finishing companies in India who are buying, the hollows from China under the advanced license, and then, they finish it to the tubes, and then they, send it for exports. So that business had been like that for last, more than a couple of years.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful. And secondly, sir, in November 25, the Indian government had temporarily eased import restrictions permitting sale of non-BIS compliant FS products in India. So was there any loss of sales due to this, and has this restriction been lifted now?
See, that restriction continues to remain lifted, right? And as of now, I think it is eased until the end of March. And we know that the imports are coming. So somewhere that has also affected, all the companies in India. But I don't think that's coming in, let's say, very huge volumes and, completely denting the industry. But we are still now, as industry working with the government and trying to persuade that, whichever, such routes of, infiltration which were closed and, restriction should be imposed back. So this was a temporary easing that was done. We don't see this to be continuing for very long time. But as of now, it's fine. I mean, we are not so greatly affected, if you ask me.
Okay. So last question is, what is the domestic market share for the company in drive bars and pipes currently? In bars and pipes.
Very difficult question, because the market is also evolving. And in the whole scheme of things, only bright bar is difficult to say how much is the market. But you see, in India, overall consumption of long products between black, bright and billets is about 0.8 million tons. And if I remove, the wire rods and all, would be about 0.6 million tons. So out of 0.6 million tons, what we are selling is hardly at this point in time 30,000 tons. So you can imagine, I mean, maybe 4%, 3-4% of the total market. But, this, I think this would not be the most appropriate measure, because this 0.6, 0.7 million tons has a wide range of products, very, very wide range, right? And in stainless steel, it is no, I mean, I don't think there is any manufacturer which can do, the complete range. So if we really go on a product level basis, let's say the size range that we produce and the market size to that, I think we would be about 10-15% of the total market size.
Understood, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Is there no question from the participant? I would like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. I'd like to emphasize that the company remains focused on driving operational efficiencies, advancing early mover initiatives aligned with India's growth story, addressing evolving and complex customer requirements, and expanding our customer footprint across both existing markets and new opportunities. As always, we remain sharply focused and committed to delivering long-term value for all our stakeholders. I hope we have been able to address your queries satisfactorily. Should you have any additional queries, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team, who will be happy to assist. Thank you once again for joining us today. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the near future. Thanks.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.